Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So there was a story in the news just this past week, just a few days ago. And, you know, I don't really ever watch the news. But this story came up, and I saw this story, and maybe you saw it too. A spider monkey named Ava was on the loose in Utahville. Apparently, this pet had escaped from her home, from the owner, and was just wandering around in the local area. Just this monkey wandering around. A few hours after being reported missing, she was captured by a local official who used a hot cup of coffee to lure her in as bait. And she came to that cup of coffee. So, surely, Ava, the spider monkey, was not supposed to be there. She was not supposed to be out just wandering around in Utahville that day. She wasn't supposed to be there. Just like two people that we heard about this morning in our scriptures. People who weren't supposed to be there. Ruth, it's a fairly well-known story in the Bible, but Ruth married into a family and she moved far away from her home. Well, it just so happened that Ruth's husband died and she decided to stay with her mother-in-law because she had no one else. She had nowhere else to go. Even though she was going to be in a foreign land, surrounded by foreign people with a completely different language, different geography, different culture. And as we read a little bit later, we started to see at the very last verse we read in Ruth today, she wasn't exactly welcomed at first. But by a few people, and it turns out, though, that all of this was in the Lord's plan. All of it was indeed a work of God. Ruth wasn't supposed to be there. This woman who shouldn't have been there would eventually become an ancestor in the messianic lineage of Jesus, as we read about in Matthew chapter 1. Her name specifically is mentioned there. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. We heard David's name in our epistle reading from 2 Timothy, didn't we? This foreigner who wasn't supposed to be there, in her faith and in her adaptability, becomes a great hero of the Christian faith. And Ruth was very grateful for what she had. She was very grateful all along the way as the Lord worked in her life. Even in her pain and suffering, her mental anguish, her mourning, her searching, her sojourning, her traveling, she was grateful for everything that the Lord brought her to and that the Lord brought her through. Friends, this is how the Lord works. He works in places where we don't think he would work. The Lord works despite the barriers and the differences and the obstacles and the walls that we tend to put up in between God's grace and our lives. We as human beings tend to really like to make divisions and distinctions where God never intended. I think the last 3 weeks of what we've been hearing from the prophets Amos and Habakkuk, and in the Gospel of Luke, are prime examples of this. God desires compassion and mercy, and we do not get to dictate how God administers his justice. Though it is in the depths of humanity, it is from the depths of humanity that we choose to try to dictate God's actions. We think we maybe even know better than God. And in doing so, essentially all we do is put up these numerous false facades and unnecessary barriers. This morning in the Gospel of Luke, we heard about another person who shouldn't have been there, right? The Gospel of Luke, we heard about this great gratitude, even from this person who should not have been there. Someone who didn't deserve Jesus' mercy and compassion. Again, Jesus making his way on to Jerusalem with the singular focus in mind that he is going to die for you, for me, for all of humanity. And along the way, he is encountered by this community of lepers, people who have been cast away from society for various diseases. Leprosy could have been one of them. There were probably a number of diseases why these people were cast aside. Well, together, they all call out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It's a continuation of what we have learned about and read about these last 3 weeks. Compassion and mercy come directly from God and are not to be ignored by those who follow him. They acknowledge, these people acknowledge Jesus as Master. Master, Lord, Messiah. He is Master. Of course, they're correct. And of course, he had mercy on them. He had mercy on them. He had compassion on them. And he brought to them miraculous healing. Though only one of them, one of the ten, comes back to show any gratitude at all. The one who wasn't supposed to be there. The Samaritan. A foreigner. Just like Ruth, should not have been there. This was the only one who thought it right to come back and give thanks for this amazing miracle that the Lord had just performed in front of them and for them. And then Jesus tells him that it is by his faith that he was made well. Faith. Faith from a man who was an outsider that brought, who was the only one who brought gratitude. All of the insiders just went about their day. They consumed the miracle and went on. This one gave thanks. And in this passage that we read, we see the amazing and masterful work of the Master, of Jesus. And they acknowledge him as Master, right? He is the only one who could bring restoration to a community that has been alienated and to even an individual within that community who was alienated. Have you ever heard of MasterClass? MasterClass is an online platform that it's instruction and lectures about hosted by experts in any given genre, any given topic. You can do a master class on cooking or on leadership or technology or science or acting or singing or whatever else. There's any number of things that anyone can go and take a master class on directly from an expert in whatever field you choose to take the class on. Well, I think what we have just seen in the example of Jesus is a master class on how to be a Christian. A master class on how to be a Christian. Jesus is the incarnate God. God from heaven to earth, living, walking, teaching, preaching, performing miracles, leading people into salvation. The incarnate God, the only one who could do that. And people bringing this salvation even to people that others thought were outside of the boundaries of salvation, outside of the people of Israel. He continues to do that work today. Jesus' mercy changes us, friends. His mercy changes us. It changes other people as well. Instead of pushing people away when they make a mistake, even grand mistakes, terrible sins, instead of pushing people away, Jesus calls people to himself for forgiveness. He brings people to himself rather than simply allowing them to fade away into loneliness and isolation and obscurity. He brings people into community. This has always been the way that he operates. He brings people into community, especially those who have no community. Jesus leads us with his great examples. What are some of the ways that we, at St. John's Parish Church, are led by Jesus? Well, let me just tell you. He calls us to go to the Charleston County Juvenile Detention Center because the young people there need some encouragement, some hope, some motivation, some call to ask for forgiveness. And in going there, in the body of Christ, going to that place that so many people have just forgotten about, the body of Christ going there, in that, Jesus sits down with those young people who have absolutely made great mistakes in their lives. And he draws them closer and closer to himself so that they can be forgiven and live a life of forgiveness. Jesus leads us to reach out into our local community to provide a Thanksgiving meal, some groceries, some prayer, some hope for those who are in need, to let them know that Jesus hasn't forgotten about them, and neither have I. This is the feeding of the multitude. It takes place the Saturday before Thanksgiving every year. Even if there are people who we don't think deserve to have that generosity, Jesus leads us to go out into our community, to volunteer to help people fix their floors or their windows or their roofs at their homes all across our islands because the homeowner simply can't afford it right now. Can't afford to fix these problems on their own. Maybe they don't have the skills to do it either. Sometimes we all need a little help. That help comes from our faith in the one whose faithfulness is perfect. Just as the leper, the Samaritan leper, discovered when Jesus had mercy and compassion and helped him. Friends, Jesus leads us to give thanks in all circumstances, good, bad, or otherwise, because he has already been generous in saving the world from the consequences of sin and death and of Satan. We look then to the Savior of the world to give us what we need, his perfect sacrificial way of life. His perfect sacrificial service is our example. We want to be Christ-like, don't we? We want to be Christ-like. His sacrificial service is our example, not hard-heartedness, not selfish winning or desires. Sacrificial service. And so I think the question that we all may then ask ourselves is this: why am I doing this? Whatever this is for you. Why am I doing this thing? Am I doing it for myself? Am I doing it for God? Am I doing it because I think that I have to do something to earn an eternal reward? Why am I doing what I am doing? It's a question that can arise in any or every aspect of our life. Our life as a Christian, indeed, but our life that we have at home or at work, in our service, in our sins and mistakes, in our going out, in our coming back in. Why am I doing this? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ that he offered of himself for us in a very humiliating and awful and torturous death. Is a sacrifice of service that is beyond parallel. It is a sacrifice of service that indeed all of us are called to, because he was then on the third day resurrected from the grave. He rose gloriously to defeat all of that, to defeat our hard-heartedness, to defeat our selfish desires, to defeat the ways that I think of myself before I think of others. The incarnation, and then Jesus' life, his teaching, his preaching, his performing miracles, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension proves that everything he ever did or ever said was true and right and good, and it was for you. And it was for the person sitting to your left and to your right. It was for the person that lives down the road that we know lives a horrible life, a life of sin. But his death was for that person too. So that person, too, has hope. Has hope that what this life has to offer is not all there is. There is glory everlasting. Friends, we can be hardened of heart, or we can be grateful. We can be extreme consumers, or we can be thankful. We can be for ourselves, or we can participate with God in the example of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, and I hope it is, let us then take the words of Jesus, rise and go, and may our faith in Jesus make us well. Amen.
In spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Oh Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. What can I give? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you.